Thank you so much for participating and sharing those favorite songs, those great hymns of our faith. Hey folks, we're in a worship series that we're calling Picture Perfect, and I just wonder how perfect is your picture right now in your life? You know, I think that we all have relationships, which is what we're focused on. In fact, you might say, and I've heard it all throughout my academic career, that it's all about relationships. The sociologists, the counselors, all those different professions, different disciplines would always come back and say, hey, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about relationships. And you know what? If you have a relationship that's not going right in your life, life stinks, doesn't it? If there's some strain between you and your spouse, life just doesn't feel right. If there's a coworker, or maybe your best friend, your BFF, suddenly something has come up and there's an issue between you, you know, life doesn't feel right. Sometimes life stinks, of course, when our relationships are not right. And so in this series, we're talking about relationships, and we're lifting up God's best for us, and we're encouraging you to be in a relationship that's healthy and seek healing and seek restoration, because after all, it's all about relationships. And today we're going to focus on another very important aspect of our life. We're going to talk about family. Could there be any topic that is more relevant than that? More direct human need that's needed than that? And today we've lifted up a couple of places in Scripture. There in the words of Joshua, choose whom you are going to serve, as well as here in the life of Jesus. Now, some folks call these the silent years because for whatever reason, the gospel writers didn't really give us much information in terms of Jesus' early life. But here we find out Jesus is not in a minivan, but he's in a caravan. And they're going back, and that's the way folks traveled back in that day. And they were going back there to the hometown, as was their custom. And normally when they traveled like that, they were going with bands of people. The extended family was going. Families were grouped together, and there would be even friends that were going, and suddenly you would have these large entourage, and the moms and the children typically seemed to be up front, as we know, and the dads would kind of be following along in the rear, making sure no one was struggling, and somehow or another, Jesus got separated from mom or dad. And this is something I think we can relate to. But I want to use this text today as a place to jump off and go a little bit deeper and reflect some on what the family is all about. And I want to share some about that today. So I know today it seems like that we have no idea what family is. It's simply a collection of people, some people believe, that's kind of camped up under a rooftop somewhere, just kind of a caring for one another and looking out for one another. And it's, something that seems to be lost in our world today. It used to be a mom and a father and some children, but that traditional family model seems to not exist much anymore. Oh, I suppose it exists, but it doesn't seem to be the norm. There was a story I heard here recently of an incident where a couple and a mom and a dad, they were out at one of the local parks, and they were with their children, and there were two people there seated on a bench, and the one nudged the other and said, look there, there's a family. And that's just how unique today it seems to be in our world. You know, I used to ask people, I'd say, and I asked this one lady, I said, how's your family? And, you know, the kind of response she gave me was unique. She said, well, I used to say that if I wanted to see my family, I had to put a mirror on the TV set if I wanted to get a glimpse of my family. But she said, nowadays, everybody's so busy and everybody's so focused on their device, I had to put their picture on my screen. Just get a picture of my family. I'm going to tell you today, if you have a family, you better love them. Because time moves on. I've been to some graduation parties here over the weekend, and I'm going to tell you, you know, our kids kind of move on. If you have kids, you better love them. Tomorrow, the baby won't be rocked, and the toddler won't be asking why, and the school child will not need any help with their homework any longer, And they will not be bringing their friends home to a pizza party after the ball game. And tomorrow the teenager will be making that major decision and they will be moving out. If you have kids, if you have family, you better love them. The Bible says this in the Old Testament, in that great book of Nehemiah. It says, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers and your sisters, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. And I hope you're fighting for your home today to be that place that God has given to you, where you can be loved and find great strength. You know, it's very interesting to me, if you stop and think about it, that the Bible really teaches us about some great spiritual truths. In fact, God uses family terms all the time to express those kinds of great spiritual truths to us. For instance, God is called our Father there in Matthew chapter 6. And we are called his children, and Jesus is called our brother, and the church is called the family of God. And one of these days, we're going to have a great family reunion. And even terms that really describe to us our salvation are expressed in these kind of terms as well. In fact, we are born into God's family. The Bible speaks about there in John chapter 3, we are born again. We are birthed into a family. In fact, we become a new creature in Christ Jesus as a result of our relationship with God when we have this new birth experience. And we are adopted into God's family. And that's a term that God uses repeatedly throughout the scripture, being adopted into his family. And why is that? It's because I believe that the family is God's idea. It's a model of relationship that we have forever. It's a relationships of love, of trust, and of mutuality. And the family is the basic unit of society. And God thought this up. There was a family before there was a church, by the way. But because we live in a broken planet, you know, nothing works correctly all the time. There are no perfect families, and there's no perfect people. And even still, God says, in spite of all of our oh's and woes, in spite of all our suffering and sorrows, in spite of all of our faults, our failures, the fears that we have, God says, I still choose to use you in your family to make a great difference in this world. The big idea that God wants to work in you and through your family is something that we find page after page in the Bible, how God would reach out into families and there would be these incredible things that would take place. And God wants to work through you today, and I know in your family, and to bless you. And so this morning, I'm going to, just as we come to the Lord's table, a table which is that common denominator, something we all share in eating and all hopefully share in that relationship with Jesus Christ, where we break bread together. And I want us to think for just a moment about what the Bible says about the family. Now, I could give you perhaps a dozen or so purposes for the family, to be sure, but I'm going to lift up just three things today for you to think about. The first thing is, I find in my experience and from what I read in the Bible, is that God designed families to be a life preserver. Think about it. Your family's kind of a life preserver. Now, what do I mean by that? It's a shelter for the storms of life. The Bible says this in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, reverence for the Lord gives a person deep strength. His children have a place of refuge and security. And because we live in a broken planet, life is tough, is it not? I mean, does anybody agree with that? Life is tough. I've had all kinds of challenges in my life. I'm sure you've had all kinds of difficulties in your life. Things always are not smooth, and there are all kinds of problems. Life is tough. It's not easy. It's difficult at times. Things don't always go as planned. You get banged up. You get batted around. You get almost broken down at times. And you're prayed, guess what? It's going to rain on it occasionally. And there are all kinds of storms that we battle and go through in life. We're going to have physical storms. The older we get, things aren't going to work like they used to. Those hips and knees and those things that we've always done, you know, they're going to start wearing out. We're going to go through physical storms. Your body doesn't always work the way we want them to. There's going to be emotional storms that we're all going to experience in life. There are going to be moments where you are worried and you're stressed out about things going on at work or maybe in your family. You're going to have maybe those moments of guilt and resentment that are going to creep up. Or maybe you get angry. Or maybe you go through those bouts of loneliness. Or maybe you're going to face some depression in life. There's going to be those emotional storms that we have to maneuver through. There's going to be relationship areas, relational storms that we confront. Conflict that you can have with other people in your neighborhood or with your friends or maybe coworkers or your family. There's financial storms that we're going to face as well when you don't have enough to make ends meet some particular time in your life. There are going to be mental storms that you have where you're really going to need wisdom trying to decipher what in the world you're going to do next. How are you going to get out of this situation? What are you going to do? There are many, many different kinds of storms that we're going to face. And God says, I mean for the family, I believe to be a place of refuge, to be a place of shelter that you can turn to, a place of protection in the storms of life. And particularly for kids, because I have found that, you know, kids want a soft place, a soft pillow to land when they just flunked algebra. Or when there's been a breakup of a girlfriend or a boyfriend and they want somebody to talk to. And God wants the family to be a place of security. Now, when you play games, if you think about it, almost every game, the goal of the game is to get home. Think about it. If you're playing baseball or kickball, you want to get back to home. If you're playing a board game like Sorry or Trouble or any of those board games, it's always to get back to home because that's the safe zone. That's kind of the goal, is to get back home. And some of you probably remember when you were growing up that something happened at school. You flunked a test, or somebody said something mean to you, or you didn't make the team, or something happened that you broke up with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. You felt totally dejected, and you didn't want anybody else to know about it. You didn't want anybody else to really see you cry or be upset. But as soon as you got home, the floodgates opened. Because that, you knew that was a safe area. You know that there were folks there that were going to nurture you and love you, and there was a safe area for you. And God says, I want your home to be a safe haven, to be a shelter, to be a place of love. A second thing I believe that the scripture bears out for us is this, not only as a shelter, a life preserver, but I believe the Bible says a family is a learning center for life. Think about it. Jesus here has gone back to the temple, and he's asking questions, and he's listening, and he's engaging the people, and God says family is to be a learning center. And that's the second purpose I would suggest to you, a learning center for life. It's a place where you can learn and practice those skills that you need to learn without any kind of embarrassment, right? You learn to eat in your family. You learn to sleep. You learn to walk and to talk. You even learn how to go to the bathroom, right? You learn where and when and what's appropriate in life. It's how do you do all those things. You learn a lot of very important skills in family. And God says it's to be a learning center for life. And we're not to ridicule our kids either. And the Bible speaks about this, like in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. It says, fathers, don't criticize your children. In other words, don't pick on them. Don't put them down all the time. In fact, the Bible goes ahead to say, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And again, there, notice the Bible saying, bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord. Important part of our families is to be a learning center. The family is to be a learning center for life. And the Bible says, there again in the book of Proverbs, it says, my father told me, take my words to heart and follow my instructions, and you will live and learn to be wise and develop good judgment. As Christians, we believe strongly that as a family that's supposed to convey those Christian values on to their children. And that's what the Bible teaches us. And yet clearly it's not happening because we seem to be losing our children. Children used to go away to college, and then they would get married, and then they would come back into the church when they had little ones. And that's happening less and less and less today. And I have to ask, are moms and dads really passing on the faith to their children? The church has a responsibility in that for sure. But I got to tell you, moms and dads have a key responsibility and teaching their children in the ways of the Lord. And I want to say to you that the family is to be a learning center for life. The ultimate goal of life also, just to let you know, is not independence. As a parent, your goal is threefold strategy. You want to move your kids from parent control to self-control, and that's really onto, not to stop there, but then to God control, and that's emotional maturity. You want to move your kids from dependence to independence, and then to full dependence upon God for living, and that's the ultimate goal of life. The ultimate goal is learning how to relate to God and depend on God and have that interdependence, which is called community. And a total independent person can't do all that God wants them to do in life. Families are to be a shelter in the storms of life. They're to be a learning center. And then just quickly before we share communion together, I want to remind you something else I find that's so important for families. And that is, it's to be a launch pad for serving. Now think about it. God wants your family to practice serving others together. It's a great unifier in your family if all of you are serving together. We've had some great hashtag sharing the love events here these last few months. And we've been going out to hospitals. We've been going to Princeton Village. We've been going over to Chesterwood. And it's just amazing where moms and dads are bringing their kids over at Chesterwood as I've been going with there. And you just see this incredible acts of service that are really taking place. Service can really be a great unifier for your family. When you get to heaven, we're going to be serving God, the Bible says. And you can't serve God really here personally on earth. I mean, you can't even see God. God's invisible. How can you serve an invisible God? Well, Jesus tells us. And Jesus says the only way that you can serve God on earth is by serving others, by serving other people. Whatever you do, he said, in acts of kindness for others, it's like you did it unto me, even to the least of these little ones, even to the homeless, even to the fatherless, even to the orphans. He says, I want your family to be a ministry team and work and serve the Lord and do it faithfully. I heard the story the other day about a mother who got so upset with her two small preschool kids. They were fighting over a doll. She went into the room and she grabbed the doll and she threw it out the window. And then she gave him this lecture about how they shouldn't do that and how they needed to share and so forth. And she was certain after she got done giving them that lecture that she had really hit home with them and that she had really taught them a lesson. And she sure had, because later on that day, her two children were throwing loaves of bread out the window and doing what they had seen her do. And isn't that a great point? Because children will always learn more from what they see you do than from what they hear us say. We teach our kids about serving and about giving. And there are multiple examples of this in the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, for example, Stephanas and his family, they were the first to become Christians in Greece, the Bible says, and they are spending their lives serving everywhere. When you serve as a family, you show love to other people, you reach out to those that are hurting, you share loaves of bread, you feed the hungry and those hurting. Wouldn't it be great if your family had that kind of reputation? Wouldn't it be great to know that your family had that reputation in your neighborhood? That you were known as a family who helped other people? Let me say to you, if you don't set the direction, you're going to start drifting. We need to be like Joshua. Decide today whom you will serve. As for me and my family, we are going to serve the Lord. And that doesn't mean we're perfect, because we're not. And it doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes, because you will. But you are going to serve the Lord, and that's clear. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for these moments where we can read your word. We can reflect upon the truths that you've given to us. Certainly today we think about our families. God, we think of so many today whose family is broken, and it's not a shelter. We know you grieve, and we join in that grief, praying for those that are in a situation, Lord, where their family's really broken. We cry tears today and have such thoughts, Lord, and we pray for restoration. We pray for others today, oh God, that are struggling in a relationship, and we pray for healing. Lord, put it on someone's heart today what it is that we need to do to bring reconciliation. The phone call we need to make, the card we need to send, the person we need to talk to. Help us, oh God. We pray for our families. We pray for our schools and our teachers. We know they need your wisdom. We pray for our graduates, oh God, that are getting ready to leave and go forward to another chapter in their life. And we pray for comfort for mom and dad today as they go forth. Certainly, it's exciting and wonderful. We know job well done. But we pray, oh God, for your peace, for those who are going to be empty nesters soon. We pray, God, for so many other relationships today. And we pray, oh God, you'd be in our midst as we lift up families and our family, that it might continue to serve you and reflect your goodwill and love in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prepare for communion, let's sing a stanza here of 620, One Bread and One Body. And let's just sing the first verse. It is a wonderful moment when we can, as a church family, gather here at this Lord's table, and we remember those mighty acts that were wrought in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we remember how he took the bread that evening, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "This is my body given for you." And likewise, he took the cup, and he shared it, and he said, "This is my blood shed for remission of sin. Drink in remembrance of me." So we invite you today to come to this table. I do want to invite our communion servers to move forward at this time, and as they do and prepare to come, our ushers here in just a moment will be directing you down front to receive communion. And I do remind you that you don't have to be an official member of Faith Community, United Methodist Church, but that you do so with great reverence and that you earnestly desire to lead that life with Christ. And so as we prepare for this moment, let us pray. Let us join in the prayer of great thanksgiving. Almighty God, we thank you so much for what you have done in our lives and for what you are indeed doing. And for this opportunity, we are so joyful to be able to come around this table today and to dine with you and to remember these acts that were done in you, your amazing grace, how your sacrifice today paved the way for salvation. Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit would be poured forth upon this bread and cup that it truly might be for us your body and blood. And bless each one here today that comes forward. Anoint our hearts, we pray. And we join together in that prayer that you shared for us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.